Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 12, and Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Randy Asbury is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The first reading for the Feast of the Saint Michael and All Angels is from the Revelation to Saint John chapter 12. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world for temptations to sin. For it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save the lost. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The disciples came to Jesus. They asked him, Lord, who's the greatest in your rule and reign? Perhaps they wanted to upgrade their resumes. Perhaps they were jockeying to get a key position in the cabinet of the incoming Jesus administration. But Jesus likes turning human expectations on their head. He wants to turn their perspective and ours away from competition, away from comparison, away from worldly standards of importance. He calls a child to him. He sets that child in their midst. He says, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Who is the greatest one? The little one. The great ones are those like children, not childish, but childlike. And what's so special about children? Forgive me, parents, but not much. They're not productive. They're needy. And that's Jesus' point. The greatest in the reign of heaven is the one who is lowly and powerless, who acknowledges his own emptiness, who admits her own utter inability in spiritual things. The greatest, most important disciple is the one who is the weakest, the most humble, the most dependent upon God, the most reliant on Jesus. The greatest one is the neediest one. Your calling as Jesus' disciples, his followers, to be the needy little ones. It's also to care for the needy little ones. And so Jesus is talking about his own urgent care for the greatest who are the neediest, the most dependent upon him. It's why he talks about temptations into sin and lopping off body parts. After our gospel, Jesus tells a story of a shepherd finding one lost sheep and rejoicing over it more than the 99 he had left behind. And then he gives that well-known guide for what to do when a brother sins against you and wraps it up with a promise for those gathering in his name. God does not take it lightly when his little ones, those who believe in him, are caused to stumble into unbelief and eternal ruin. In fact, he takes it so seriously that he gives us all a little slap in the face to wake us up. Cause one of your fellow needy little ones to stumble, and you might as well put on cement overshoes and jump into a deep lake. You might as well lop off whatever body part causes the temptation to sin. By the way, don't take him literally on this. Jesus is speaking hyperbole, exaggeration, to make a point. This is serious stuff. Take Jesus slap in the face as your call to repentance. Repent for all those times of not seeing your fellow Christian, your fellow needy little one, as the greatest in God's eyes. You see, these little ones, these neediest, least powerful, most dependent ones, are not to be despised because God himself treasures and values them. Each and every one of us is poor in spirit in relation to God. Each of us is only the greatest by being the neediest. And we all equally need his blessing. So Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to save the lost." And we see our Lord's urgent care for the littlest, the least, and the lost. And that includes you and me. In our first reading, we live and move and have our being in the midst of an ongoing cosmic war. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon and his angels, and that ancient serpent being thrown down to earth. As St. Peter reminds us, now Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We needy little ones live in a war zone. It's no accident that St. Michael and all angels falls at this time of year. Last Monday marked the fall equinox, a day of equal amounts of daylight and nighttime, sunlight, and darkness. From now until the first day of winter, the daylight will decrease and the nighttime will increase. It's a battle between light and dark in nature. And it will seem as though the darkness is winning out. We also see this battle in the colors of nature. As fall proceeds, the green fades away. The golds, the oranges, the reds, and the browns take over the trees and the bushes until those colors then give way to the dreary gray of winter, the bare branches of death. It's a battle between the warmth of summer and the cold of winter. And these are but visible manifestations of the cosmic spiritual war. St. Paul reminds us little ones, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. These forces of evil are assembled around us and against us. Each of us wrestles with doubts, uncertainties, against not knowing God's word, against the pressures of this world that impede hearing and learning God's word. Some wrestle against temptations. Some wrestle against getting up for church on time. Some wrestle with praying or simply reading God's word at home. What shall we do? Take solace in and rest secure in our Lord's urgent care for his needy little ones. It's what the loud voice in heaven proclaims in the face of this cosmic war. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them night and day before God. But it's not Saint Michael and his angel army rangers who win the war. It's our Lord himself. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The Son of God himself became a child by the Virgin Mary. He humbled himself like a child in all the ways that he lived and moved and had his being on the face of this planet. And he was cut off, and he was thrown away on Calvary's cross so that you and I might enter eternal life. He was struck down for you, for your salvation on a cross. He himself was despised, rejected, pierced, crushed for you. For all those times, you've looked down on needy little ones. For all those times, you've doubted or despaired in the midst of this cosmic war. He shed his innocent blood, and by his wounds, you are healed. He laid down his life for you, and he took it up again for you. And in his great, urgent care for you little needy ones, he also gives his holy angels for your benefit. They're his messengers. They're also his soldiers to protect you from the onslaughts of Satan. How does Hebrews ask it? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? And how do we pray it morning and evening with Martin Luther? Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Jesus is the little one, the child of God, who who came into this world to defeat Satan by humbly dying on a cross. When the angels fight the spiritual battles and protect you, they are drawing you to Christ, to God's own Son, who was cut off so that you might enter God's kingdom. And those angels are joining us even now. Keep that in mind when you hear these words. With angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.